Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
The Bucks released Antonio Brown yesterday. EJ, as we all know. Team official told ESPN's Adam Schefter that AB was agitated about not getting the targets he was expecting, and he had to be calmed down. Brown's attorney told ESPN's Jenna Lane that AB wasn't upset about the lack of targets. AB released a statement on Wednesday saying he was just too injured to go back into the game. Okay. And when you just heard yesterday's sound of Key saying, just because a guy's been wrong in the past doesn't mean he's wrong this time. And I said, you know, Jay and Key and I think we were all on the same page there. If he has receipts, he has receipts. But, of course, we knew the Bucks were going to have their own answer to that. And here was Bruce Arians, head coach at the Tampa Bay Bucks, on what happened from his perspective.
That was the disturbing thing when we were looking for him to go back into the game. All right, we always had, he was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here. And that's the end of it. And we're working on Carolina. That's the end of the story. And hopefully it ends today. You can't force a player to play. I mean, they have that choice. It's their body. And he decided to play. He and Mike both were on pitch counts. All right. And we were trying to manage that as best we could in the first half.
All right, Key, you said earlier in the show, hold on, why are you chuckling? Every time you hear that sound, we come out laughing. Why are you chuckling?
Because I love hearing how the spin doctors be working with everybody. Everybody positioning themselves, they leaving stuff out, not really giving you everything, kind of, you know, saying things like, oh, we had to calm that down. He wanted the football. They setting the narrative up, and it's just funny. It's because I've seen this so many times in my life with athletes, and it's hilarious to me.
You said earlier in the show that you're not going to hear much from his teammates right now, right? Because
correct.
Bruce Arians was talking about that. You know, you're not going to hear, like, you know, basically you're not hearing anything from the team in support of him, right? So why are you not going to hear much from his teammates?
Well, one of the things is the teammates is not going to get caught up in the mix, man. We're trying to win a championship right now. And not only that, I'm on a team. I got a family to feed. I don't care how much guaranteed money I have. I'm not trying to ruffle feathers on my team right now. You know, you're going to always have a split decision in a locker room about a teammate's personality. If he's a real a-hole, teammates are really going to start to come out and say stuff. Like, oh, yeah, it was time for him to go anyway. They're going to start to say those sort of things. But if they genuinely like you and they respect you, they ain't going to say nothing because they saw how you are treated up close in person. That's why, and I go back to my own experience. When I left the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my teammates didn't say nothing. My teammates, in fact, they was at my house chilling with me after the fact. But people in the building and the organization tried to put muzzles on them, and they were not in the same secure position as me, so they were not going to say anything. They was just going to not say nothing until such due time that they needed to say things. That's Jay, just how it is.
Jay, where are you with the – I mean, because to me, and Key earlier in the show was like, listen, you know, don't fall for the okey-doke.
Yeah.
And that's not me, man. Like, you know, like I'm sure I've fallen for it in the past, but I'm pro player. I'm very cynical about, you know, about especially the spin I hear from teams and leagues. But AB has very little credibility with me based on his past. Well, so where are you with all of this?
Well, it is smart by the organization, even those little, you know, tea leaves about he didn't get his targets, the situation that happened at halftime, especially considering 2 days ago that his agent and Jason Light actually acknowledged this. They tried to get that $2 million guaranteed of incentives, and the team denied that, right? So they're playing that narrative, and it fits into that narrative. Regardless of whatever you think who was right or wrong. The team wins at the end of the day, right? Like, the team is moving on from Antonio Brown. And the whole situation just makes me feel so unfortunate for AB, because if he had just handled that correctly, he still could have got his incentives key, you know, the next game against the Panthers. He still would have had a chance to win a Super Bowl. And it just
– But see, feels, that goes to show you, though, Jay, it probably wasn't all about the incentives.
I hear you, but Key, with it, it gets to a certain point in a player's career, even if it wasn't about the incentives. It was like, how many more mistakes can I afford to make before I won't have a chance anymore?
As many as I can make, as long as I'm good.
Yeah, but I mean, now we're having conversations about whether we think AB will actually have a chance to be on an NFL team again.
Hey, Jay.
And if you're a GM, I understand that talent speaks at the end of the day, Key, but yeah. If you're a GM and you're reasonable and yeah. You're looking at this saying, do I want to put my team through that? I mean,
were you on this show last year? Oh, no. What year was it? Yeah, last year, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's been 2 years, right?
Were you on the show when we started last year? Oh, yeah. AB, is he gonna get picked up by anybody? Ah, he's done. His career's over. I can't believe it. Dude just won a Super Bowl, man.
But there was familiarity with a legendary, the greatest quarterback of all time who vouched for him, and we're just kind of seeing that relationship implode a little bit to a degree.
Yeah, but think about it.
That's the greatest quarterback of all time, Key. Like, am I going to put AB with a young quarterback?
The year before. No, I didn't say it with a young quarterback. The year before that, he was in Oakland at the time. No familiarity, right? They still took a chance on him because he could play football. Right? All the stuff that he went through, Tom Brady vouched for him. Still took a chance on him.
I want to see him back in the league.
The New England Patriots took a chance on no familiarity. So my whole point is there's 32 teams. Three of those 32, you can X out, right? You can X out the Raiders, the Pats, and now the Bucks. Oh, or you can X out Pittsburgh. So four of the 32.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Keith. So Mike Tomlin had it work for a long time in his prime. That finally exhausted itself. The Pat situation with Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time. That exhausted itself.
Yep.
The Raiders, the bad boys, like, hey, if there's a place where a guy can fit. It's the Raiders. That exhausted itself. And now you're telling me with the greatest quarterback of all time, they win a championship, and then it feels like it's still not good enough. That exhausts itself. So you're like, those are four pretty incredible examples.
It's 32 teams, Max and Jay.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
We mentioned four teams. How many left?
Yeah, no. Listen, and by the way, by the time regimes flip over and everything, but here's the thing about AB. The expression is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. AB has fooled people five, six, seven, eight times. We all know it will be no different. So as long as the next time, it will be no different. If he feels, the moment he feels he has leverage, he wants to go shake the money tree, and it's a shakedown. For each team, it's a shame. You get to a point, it's like, now I want more money. And he'll do what he can to try and grab the money. And he does it in a self-destructive way because it doesn't result in the money. He's so self-destructive.
As crazy as it sounds, if I was a general manager next year and I had a stable situation with a stable quarterback and coaching staff and everything, mm-hmm. we'd take a look at him.
Of course, because he's
really
good.
Would you do it? Taking a look is one thing. Would you do it, though?
Because you know why? He could help me win games. You know why he was good for the Buccaneers? Because he could help them win. You know when he became no good for them? It's because he couldn't help them beat the Jets because he couldn't get in the game.
But
he was hurt.
Let me ask you this.
Was time to get away from him.
How much hand-holding are you willing to do for that? Because that comes – I think that was one of the things that kind of – you felt like you witnessed with Bruce Arians, right? Like the amount of attention it takes to continue to stay on top of the AB situation – has to be at a certain point where you're like, I just can't. I don't have enough power, willpower to keep doing this. I can't do it anymore.
I probably shouldn't be a general manager or president of a team in the National Football League if I don't have the willpower, because he ain't the only one.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Here's the whole thing. He won a Super Bowl, right? Like, is it possible to have a situation with AB? Because until then, it was like, oh, but like in the end, you're going to have to get rid of him before the job gets done. But the job got done last year. So that means something. It demonstrates to teams, actually, if you play it just right, of course it's going to blow up eventually, but you might get a Super Bowl out of it.
You might,
because he is – dude, think about the receivers, the pass catchers on the Bucks. He was the best one. They got studs everywhere you look. He was the best one.
That's why you hit pay dirt. People joke and people get mad. Oh, you can't man, if you only knew the type of personalities in professional sports and football that are around in locker rooms and on teams and coaching staffs, but everybody continue to get recycled. You recycle coaches. They recycle coaches that can't coach every single day. You don't think they're going to recycle a player who can help them win? Absolutely. Think about it, Max. You've been covering sports for a while. Think about all the different players that you done seen coming in and out of the National Football League that had issues, so to speak, multiple stops. A dude, the Dallas Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. Think about it. After all what he did.
I mean, honestly.
With no problem at all.
Honestly, guys, so you can make a very good argument that A.B. is the third best receiver who ever lived. Like, you can make the argument based on the numbers he put up in the past.
So, Max, I love this conversation because we just got a text from James Steele, who's one of our producers, who's at home listening to our show today, who says, give me Tyreek Hill. Oh, he's working. All right. Tyreek, Kelce, and A.B. on the Chiefs next year.
See?
I need it.
There you go.
Or the Rams. Or put them with OBJ.
There you go.
Odell
see,
with
that's,
Cooper
that's
Cup
where you get
Robert
lost, though, Max.
Come on.
The sound of it, though, it sounds so sexy, doesn't it? It sounds so damn good. But in
it not sound sexy when you heard Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Tom Brady, Antonio Brown? That was real sexy, too. And guess what? They bit into it.
They bit into it, and they won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl, but he's going to blow it up. But you can win a Super Bowl before he does. Someone who is in a very good position, I think, to evaluate wideouts, Champ Bailey, former Georgia cornerback, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Let's bring him into this conversation. Champ joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning. Shut down
morning,
corner,
guys.
Champ Bailey. What's going on, Champ?
Not much, man. How you guys doing?
What's up, Champ?
Good, Champ.
Listen, we're talking about A.B. and the possibility of another team taking him on because, yeah, he'll blow up. But before he does, you might mess around and, as Key says, hit pay dirt. Where are you on all this?
I'm with Key. If he can play, there's a chance somebody signs him. That's just the reality. We all know that the NFL has a short memory when it comes to production. So people will take a chance on that. You know, in the short term, I don't think anybody's looking at him as a long-term answer at this point in his career. But to plug a hole or two, there's always injuries. There's always desperation. So, yeah, there's always a chance he could play because he can still play.
Yep. And Champ knows how this league is, right? You're going to have Bruce Arians and Jason Lights. They're going to have what they got. So when Seattle picks up the phone to call them to investigate what happened, they going to take that with a grain of salt anyway. They already going to be like, yep. Yeah, okay, because they do the same thing.
Yeah. Yep. You're exactly right. I'm telling you, man, it's when it boils down to it, what's the most important thing? Winning football games. And, you know, man, they're going to do whatever it takes to win games. And they're going to look away at some things. You look at some of the guys that have had issues throughout the years. Some fade away, some get chances because some people are more valuable on the field than others. That's just the way it goes.
Champ, let's stay in the NFL for a second. Your former team, the Broncos, are going to miss the playoffs again. And seeing that they need a quarterback, do you think they have a legitimate shot at getting Aaron Rodgers?
I do because I think the Packers believe they have their future on the bench. And they've been here before, you know, with Favre, you know, passing the baton to Aaron Rodgers. And then Favre went on to play a few more years, you know. So it's not far-fetched. I mean, Peyton Manning did it. Even Phillip Rivers left the Chargers after so many years. So we all know how guys are at the end of their career, especially quarterbacks. They tend to move on, get a couple more years. But the Broncos, that's what we've been lacking for the past few years. We haven't drafted well at the quarterback position. since Peyton left, you can't find a quarterback good enough for the Broncos. And, you know, they've wasted some years because we're loaded with talent in other positions. But we all know you can't win anything in this league without a quarterback.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Champ Bailey joined us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Champ, the champion playoffs start next week. Who you got coming out of the AFC and the NFC?
Wow. What a question. Well, it's hard to bet against the Chiefs. I think they've been clicking. But I think this last game, they played so bad on defense. We all know it just takes a little wake-up call, a little thing to make you dial in a little more. And that's a team that you don't need dialed in a little more, you know. So I feel like they'll fix those things. Guys will play a little differently. But even in the NFC, I mean, you could say Green Bay all day, but we've seen how they've been the last few years. You know, they just because everybody got to go through Lambeau doesn't mean anything, at least not these days. So, you know, I got Green Bay, but I can't – it's hard to bet against Brady, you know. So we'll see. Bucks, Packers, you know, one of those two will make it.
When you say it's hard to bet against Brady, like you look at a guy like – Mahomes or Rodgers or now to me Justin Herbert or Kyler when he's healthy, the talent jumps out at you, right? Brady is different. When you say like it's hard to bet against Brady, if the Packers now with all the injuries on the Bucks have maybe the better roster, that's really saying Brady's better than Rodgers, isn't it, Champ? Like that's the guy you'd rather have?
Well, he's a better winner. I mean, track record shows that. And you got to think, you're talking about a lot of talented guys. I mean, when you think about talent, Brady's not one of your guys you just throw out there. Like, oh, this guy got a big arm, and he just looks like the prototype, and look at the plays. He wins games. He wins situations. Football, everybody's talented. In the NFL, everybody has talent. At every position, there's talented people. But who's going to win in those situations when you got to have it, you're down four, and you got to go the distance to win the game? I've seen Brady do that more times than not, so I would never bet against that in the moment.
Champ Bailey, former Georgia CB, Pro Football Hall of Famer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Champ, your alma mater is back in the college football playoff national championship game, man. Congratulations. And how does it feel to see your former teammate, Kirby Smart, have a chance to bring a national chip back to Athens?
It feels great. You know, the good thing is I know he's a Bulldog, you know, at heart. You know, since I've met him, you know, that's just what we are. We're Bulldogs at heart. So to see him leading the team, it's extra special for me because I played with him. But we all know none of that matters until you win that big one. And – you know, he's as competitive as they come. So I know he wants this one. I mean, we feel good around here, but I think everybody's kind of hedging their bets a little bit, not really jumping off a cliff, because we know Bama's a team that we just haven't been able to beat lately.
Damn, you played with Kirby Smart, Champ?
Yeah, man, I'm that old.
No. He looked like he would have coached you. That's what I was saying.
I think it meant the other way around, Champ.
Yeah, it's the other way around.
Hey, but, man. It's funny. My wife said the same thing. He looked like he could have coached you at college. But no.
Exactly.
No, he just, you know. No, he's a couple years ahead of me, but we did play my whole career at Georgia. We were on. He was on my team. So
He for whatever
good
reason.
Good guy.
Hey, for whatever reason, Champ.
Go ahead, Key. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, for whatever reason, it seems like he cannot beat Nick Saban. He's 0-4. How much is the stress, the pressure to beat Nick Saban right now, especially in the national championship game? He'll be 0-2 if he doesn't. How much pressure is on him?
Man, look. Well, here's the thing. I think Nick Saban's a great coach, and I think Kirby's a great coach, but one thing you can't give somebody is experience. And Nick Saban's he's experienced. He understands what it takes to win football games. And I feel like we got the players to beat them, but our coaches got to get over the hump. And I guarantee you Kirby would say the same thing. You know, he can sit out there and yell, but it's in those little situations, you know, fourth down to go for it, kicking a field goal or going for it, little things like that throughout a game really determine wins and losses. And I think when Kirby wins those little battles within the game, we'll come out with a win. But until then, I mean, Nick Saban's, he's Nick Saban. Experienced winner. I mean, come on, he's going to be tough no matter what. And he knows who this guy is. So, you know, we got a lot riding against us. But at the same time, man, it's about that time because the players, we definitely match up now.
Champ Bailey, the great Champ Bailey, Pro Football Hall of Famer, appreciate you jumping on with us. Before we let you go, real quick, what's Georgia have to do to win it all on Monday night? We have like 30 seconds.
I tell you what was constant in the first game? Big plays. We eliminate the big plays. We got to make that young quarterback move the ball down the field methodically. Don't let him do things out of character, throw the ball and people catch and run over our heads. We can't have that. We nullify that, we win the game.
Thanks, Champ. Appreciate it. Nick Saban has only one loss against his former assistants. The one guy who ever beat him joins us next.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. The national championship is Monday night, a rematch of the SEC championship game between Georgia and Alabama. It was when Alabama took a hold of that top spot. That Georgia defense was supposed to get it done, right? Didn't happen. And ESPN has a mega cast on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+, and coverage starts on ESPN Radio right here, 7 p.m. Eastern. Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher will be a part of the film room on ESPN2, and he joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Morning, Coach.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good, Jimbo.
Good to hear you. You ever get tired of hearing that?
Hearing what?
Hearing that you are the guy to beat
I don't listen anymore. I don't listen anymore. It was a one-game deal, and, you know, we played. We played well that day, and, you know, we got to continue to build a program and do what we need to do. But, you know, I don't get caught up in that. I really don't. I mean, it's great. I mean, beating a number one team, that's your goal and what you're capable of as an organization. But the other thing, it was disappointing that we played really well after that. We didn't finish the year like we needed to. Some of our youth showed up eventually. And how you finish in a long season. But it does give you the what your capabilities are in the future and the kind of players we have here. So from that standpoint, it's good. Other than that, we got to move on, and you got to win them all.
Jimbo, you and the Aggies, y'all took down, obviously, the Alabama Crimson Tide, and now Kirby Smart is up again trying to take down Alabama for the national title. What is it going to take, though, for Kirby to finally get over that hump and get this national title? Because you have one.
Is that? Well, I mean, I think truly, forget trying to win the national title. Go play a great football game. You played in Super Bowls. Yeah, you played in NBA. I mean, in national championship games. At the end of the day, it's still a football game, and you can't get caught up in what you're trying to accomplish. But more importantly, how you got to play. When you play
big games. It's about how you perform in those games. It's about the execution of the game. And I think sometimes you got to eliminate the hype, eliminate the clutter, and remember it's a football game. Now, it's an important football game. It's a big football game. But Liz, you're there with them too, or you're a good team and you wouldn't be there. And you're going to have to play a great – for 60 minutes, you've got to play a great football game knowing who your opponent is. And at that level, no matter who you play, you're going to have to play that way. And I think they got to get out of their head that it's Alabama. They got to get out of their head that it's a national championship and all that. And they got to play a football game and let that those practice habits come to the surface where they can execute in big moments.
Coach, I'm curious to ask you just about how Kirby Smart and company kind of handled the pressure that comes along with winning a game of this magnitude. How'd you guys do it, and how do you think they should do it?
I think it's just what I talked about. I mean, you got to remind them of what you've done daily, how you perform. Show them the film of these. I mean, that they're the same people you are, and eliminate yourself from the situation. But again, that's what separates great players and great teams from all teams. You know that is eliminating the situation's big, and it's what our ultimate goal is. But how did we get here? Why did we get here? You know, it's like, you know, when kids go and they're starting to play well, and all of a sudden they get the distractions of all the things that go with success. Why do people want to talk to you? Why are you here? Because you play great football. How did you do that? You practiced well. You played well, and eliminate who you're playing against and what the situation is. Now, saying that's very easy, and you know that. You've all played in those games. Yeah. You've got to learn to process that information. And I think hopefully the SEC championship game is a great reminder for them of that. That hey. In a crazy way, as much pressure is on Georgia, they can flip and say there's not pressure on us. All right, we went through it. We got to do it. We lost the other one. Why did we lose the other one? Let's go back and play our game, relax. And you got to get them back to normal to where they're playing like they're practicing and creating those habits. I mean, I believe that. Because you lose all the great games you've ever played. People always say, man, I wasn't even thinking. I was just reacting. You know, you got to lose yourself in the game and the execution of the game and what's going on, not the outcome of the game. The outcomes can't be the ultimate. That's got to be second thought, and it's only going to come if you play well and you understand those key situations and not become outcome oriented.
Coach, you obviously have played coached in huge games, national championship games, regular season games, and you mentioned, you said, you know, just go out there and play and don't worry about it's Alabama, don't be looking up. But you do understand that Crimson over there is Alabama. You do understand that is,
yep,
Young, the quarterback, and that's the boss on the sideline who walks up and down and screaming, yep, and yelling. How do you get that off of your young players? Because these are college, these aren't pros. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that are looking at that sideline and saying, oh, my God, that's Nick Saban over there. How do you get that out of their mind?
I think that's got to go on during the week. I think it's got to go on during practice. And I think that's where when you coach, how hard you coach, the way you coach, the way you put it in their frame of mind, and you can understand you want what they got. But at the end of the day, you got to perform to get what they have. And I think the explanation of, all right, here's, it's not that what we want and who that is. Here's how we have to do it. And you have to trust me as the head coach. I'm giving you that formula to break through, to understand this. I've been there. I've done it. You have it. And this is what we have to. When Kirby was an assistant, this is how, at Alabama, this is how we did it because he was with Nick. This is how we made Alabama. We did it off this formula. I know how they think. I know what they do. This is our formula for us doing it, and it turns back into a game. And, you know, it's just like all the programs who ever turned the corner. It was like when Coach Krzyzewski went to all those Final Fours for all those years before then he finally won it, and they come back and won it. I mean, upset that great UNLV team and did that. Then the Buccaneers, when you guys won that first Super Bowl and all those type of things, and we won it at Florida State after all those years. I mean, you know, you got to get back into making – it's got to be a yearly project. This hopefully started in the summer. It's not going to start right now. It's not going to start this week. It's got to be ingrained the whole process and the whole way through. And you got to say, and at the end of the day, you got to trust me as your coach. Because right now, at the end of the day, you know this. When you get to these big games, and the hardest thing these kids are going to have to trust is themselves. Mm-hmm. Let me trust myself to go do what I got to do and do my job based on how coach is telling me and how I'm being coached. And at the end of the day, that's what it gets back to. That's why, at the end of the day, those great teams, those habits, those daily practice habits come out, and that trust factor of the coaching staff to the players and the players to each other. But more importantly, to me, I think the hardest person you ever have to trust is yourself because you can't blame it on no one else. Coach is how you call the game the exact same way. You can't worry about winning. You can't worry that's Nick Saban. We got to do what's best for this situation in the offense and the defense and the special teams.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you since you turned down that mega deal from LSU and all that money and that Brinks truck. What made you ultimately decide that LSU was not in your plans right now?
Honestly, it had nothing to do with it. I have great respect for the organization. I have great respect for the program. My kids were born there. When Nick and I were there coaching, my two boys were born there when I was coaching for Nick. And we won national championships and had great players. And, hey, anytime you guys want to get on Spears, too, just remind me, I recruited and signed Spears, so I can give you all kind of good stories on Spears, okay, when y'all deal with marketing. So you want to put him back? You want to get him in check? I can give you a bunch of them. But anyway, I really believe what we're building here. Even though we fell off at the end, this place here at A&M can be really special. The investment that people are putting into it, the facilities we're building, the things we have, and we have all the things in place. We have a great state. We're starting the recruiting class. I knew what we were going to do in the recruiting class. I know the kind of players we have coming here, and I truly believe in the organization and the support systems we have here and what we have that we can make A&M the premier program in the country. I truly believe that. And it's not a thing, as you say, you turn down a lot of opportunities, a lot of money. And it's, at the end of the day, I want to be somewhere you can make a difference. And I think the investment, these folks here, the tremendous people, and the vision we have for the future here. And, you know, to build culture and build things right, it takes a little bit of time. But I think we're right on track and have a chance to be a truly, truly great program here at A&M. I believe that in my heart, 100%.
You can catch Jimbo Fisher as part of the film room on ESPN2, part of ESPN's megacast for the national championship game on Monday night. Coverage on ESPN Radio begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Coach. Good day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're about to get you ready for Week 18.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, y'all. It's Week 18 in the NFL. Everyone knows about the big matchups. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Key.
Yo.
Why don't you tell us what's going on this weekend in the NFL that people may not know about?
Well, the good thing about the NFL this week is they're honoring Kenny Washington, Woody Strode, and the two men that broke the color barrier in the NFL 75 years ago. I wrote a book along with Bob Glauber this past spring, summer, that was released in September. And so the Rams on the game on Sunday will honor Strode and Washington by bringing the family members and putting them in attendance and recognizing them on the field. Players and coaches also will wear a logo on the helmets of each helmet, a decal of K-Dub, and on their gear during the game. And then on the flip side, the Browns and the Bengals also will recognize Bill Willis and Marion Motley. These four distinguished gentlemen is highlighted in my book, The Forgotten First, Kenny Washington, Woody Strode, Marion Motley, Bill Willis, the breaking of the NFL color barrier. So it's an amazing story. I'm glad the NFL, I'm glad the teams are honoring them with their families and bringing them down to the sidelines, because it's huge. It's been a situation that's been kind of just sitting on the shelf until me and Bob Glauber decided to unleash it and got the attention of the National Football League and plenty of media around now. So I'm excited about it.
That sounds like an important book to have written, Key. It must have been an eye-opening experience, even doing the research and everything for that book.
Oh, it is, because, you know, being a black man that happened to be in the NFL, I didn't know all of the things that went on prior to me, you know, getting really into the NFL. I mean, you got to go, 75 years, like, that's a long time. So you just didn't know all of the bigotry and the things that went on, and people keeping you out of the league because you're black and didn't want to sign you and all the problems that went on. I know we talked about Jackie Robinson. In fact, Jackie Robinson played with Kenny Washington at UCLA. And so you just didn't know a lot of stuff that's in the book. But going through the research, like you said, it was eye-opening. You go, wow, what would I have done? Could I have been as strong as these four black men if I was born and trying to play football in that day?
Go ahead, Jack.
I was just going to ask, is there any one story in particular that stood out? I mean, obviously there's a lot of stories, right? But just one that you kind of remember where you're like, damn, I didn't know it was to that degree.
Well, I didn't know that Preston Marshall, who at the time was the owner of the Washington football team, which was the Redskins, as we know, that he went as so far to have games in the deep South just so that players that were minority African-Americans, blacks, would not be able to play on the opposing teams because the deep South, you know, that stuff was like, well, I didn't even know Miami was like that back then. I was like, Miami is Miami. But Miami was such the deep South back in those days that blacks weren't even allowed to play sports down there. It was bizarre. It's all outdoors. I mean, it was just the craziest thing ever. And it took a writer here in Los Angeles from a black newspaper to get in front of it and some politicians. So when the Rams moved from Cleveland to Los Angeles, the only way they could play in a government-funded stadium was they had to sign a black player and put black players on their team, and they decided to do that. Where Paul Brown, who owned the Cleveland Browns, he didn't care about all that. He wanted the best players to play and win. But it was so much, man, it's so much in this book that you learn from. Even Dan Rooney, who founded the Pittsburgh Steelers, who at the time had just got the award at the franchise, he couldn't do what he wanted to do in terms of signing black players because he had just got the franchise. So the last thing he wanted to do was alienate anyone. So up on his passing, he told his grandson that was one of the biggest things that he regretted in his career, in his life, that he didn't go against the system and just do it anyway.
Mm. Yeah, by the way, any look at the top of any profession where you see African-American participation, that is partly the result. That means that there have been generations past of trailblazers, African-American trailblazers, men and women, who had to fight the fight to get there. Key and Jay, I'd like to make a little bit of a hard turn back to sports because I want to wrap this thing up heading into the big NFL weekend. We good? We good talking about a little football before we get out of here?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? Because the Rams are going for the division. The Niners still have a chance to make the playoffs. We talked about the Chargers and the Raiders. Key, what's the game you're most looking forward to?
Sunday Night Football. Chargers, Raiders. That is the game. That is the game of all games. You win or you go home. Because the Colts are going to probably beat the Jaguars, right? I mean, it's probably a win.
Yeah. If they don't, that's a major story. That's a major upset.
That's a win.
Exactly. So the biggest game for me is the Chargers and the Raiders. Carr versus Herbert. They beat them the first time around when they played the Raiders. And now Rich Bisaccia gets an opportunity to show everybody he can be the head coach in the league for the Raiders. I mean, you got a lot of storylines there.
Yeah, I would go with the Chargers-Raiders for sure because of the rivalry. And then that's 1A. And number two for me would probably just be just because of divisional fan, Max, Cowboys-Eagles, just because I understanding how dangerous I think the Cowboys could be, even though they are volatile, and seeing the way the Eagles have played as of recently and the way they run the ball, I just think that's an intriguing matchup from somebody who pays attention to that division more than anything.
Yeah, Chargers-Raiders for me, it's unanimous also. I hear you on the Eagles and the Cowboys. It's interesting. But Chargers-Raiders for me, guys, everything you said, plus, like, Justin Herbert, you know, I keep saying, oh, my God, look at this guy's talent, the numbers he puts up. Just look, checks every box at a stupid high level, the whole thing. They can't stop the run, this and that. Joe Burrow beat the Chiefs to clinch the AFC North. They came out in the same draft, right? Herbert's got to win when it matters with the money on the line. I'm not trying to hear you can't stop the run. You got to figure out a way to win this game. And then the flip side is Derek Carr and the Raiders. Everything they've been through and the leadership the Carr is showing on and off the field and all that, like, this is and by now I know the Raiders are in Vegas, but oh my God, in LA, what this means, Raiders and Chargers, that is the game of the weekend for sure. Yeah, right. Everyone's pulling for the Raiders. All right, guys. We're back on Monday.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.